And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to The Savage Nation. Well, they're in New Hampshire tonight, and the new motto amongst the Democrats in New Hampshire, I understand, is live free and get high. I mean, you have a choice from column A between a commie and a criminal, and a choice from column B between a showman, a shaman, and a shunda. It's all much ado about nothing for most Americans. I realize the political class, which comprises, I guess, most of the people listen to political talk radio, are obsessed with virtually every belch that goes on in the campaign. And they can talk about a single belch for 4 days. Why, he didn't say that before he said that. He didn't say that. No, he didn't really say that. He said that. No, he didn't say it. They said he said that, but he didn't really say that. And I say if he said that, he shouldn't have said that, because he really didn't say that. How dare they say that he said that? No wonder they get high in New Hampshire, live free and get high, and no wonder I say it's much ado about nothing. I've had enough of it. Choose one from column A, between a commie and a criminal. That would be the Democrats. Or choose one from column B, between a showman, a shaman, and a shunda. That would be the Republicrats. Much ado about nothing. So I took a break from it all for a day. I had enough of it. And I watched a movie the other night. I actually went to a movie theater the night I did radio. I think it was Tuesday. I went to see The Big Short, which was about the collapse of our economy in 07. In 08, actually, which gave us Obama, 07. How it was orchestrated by Wall Street, mainly the short sellers. It's an amazing movie, very complicated. It was all about credit default swaps, where they aggregated mortgages into big funds and then bet against them. Phenomenally well done, but I'll tell you the truth. I have a doctorate which includes partially studying epidemiology or statistics. I could hardly follow the movie. It was so difficult. And a person I went with is the CFO of a multi-billion dollar company. She had trouble following the plot. It's never going to do well. But it's a fabulous movie. The Big Short, directed by Adam McKay, starring Ryan Gosling, Christian Bale, who was fantastic as the doctor who invented the credit default swap. And he played Dr. Michael Burry, who thought it all up. I recommend the movie if you just want to see how it was all, you know, how it all came down, because it's going to happen again. That's the point I'm getting at. The Big Short is what I'm talking about. The U.S. mortgage housing crisis that I'm telling you about. It's about an eccentric ex-physician turned one-eyed capital hedge fund manager. He wears shorts in his office, bare feet. He goes to Supercuts for haircuts, my kind of guy. And he believed that the U.S. housing market was built on a bubble that would burst in the next few years. The company he works for as an investor allows Dr. Burry to do virtually anything he pleases with their funds. So Dr. Burry proceeds to bet against the housing market with the banks. And the banks, of course, are very happy to accept his proposal for something that has never happened in American history. The banks, you see, believe that the doctor is a crackpot, and therefore they're confident that they will win the deal. It's amazing to watch what goes on at Goldman Sachs and Deutsche Bank as played in the movie. And I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story because it'll get too complicated, but I'm recommending you watch The Big Short if you want to see how Obama got elected. It's not directly related to his election, but it certainly had a lot to do with his election. And that leads me to last night. So last night I watched Madoff on ABC. And normally I never watch network television. Never. I just don't. I don't like ads, so I don't watch it. Well, I shouldn't. I love ads. I love ads. That's why I listen to talk radio. I love ads. But when it comes to film, I lose continuity if I watch something with too many. So anyway, I watched it for one reason. I'm fascinated by Madoff for a number of reasons. How he got away with it. The corruption and collusion with the SEC, meaning the Bush government at the time. Oh, yeah, Chris Cox. You forgot his name. Blonde hair, blue-eyed Chris Cox, the head of the SEC, fundamentally, in my opinion, should have gone to jail for having allowed Madoff to get away with what he got away with, because there were many people who knew what Madoff was doing and knew he was a crook. They tried to blow the whistle on him. The SEC looked the other way. And this wonderful guy out in Boston, the gentleman with the Greek name, is the one who pursued it. He said at one point when he went to the SEC in Boston and he tried to blow the whistle on what Madoff was doing, they laughed at him. And he said, look, I'm a soldier. I'm an ex-military guy. The guy says, so what? He said, I took an oath to defend America and the Constitution. This man is a criminal, what he is doing, and hundreds of thousands of people are going to be destroyed by him. The SEC still looked the other way. You understand? So the ABC original movie event last night, Madoff, did you see it? Let's start with that. Let's make it simple. Did you see the movie last night on television, Madoff, a new ABC original movie? I loved it. I didn't really like him. I don't like the actor very much. I forget his name. I lost his name. Dreyfuss, Richard Dreyfuss. And yet he does a good job of convincing the world that he's Madoff. He's 5'4". Even though Madoff was a tall man, he plays kind of a shrimpy, poor Jewish kid from Queens who robs the world blind and boasts about it, which is enough. It gives you the ick factor. You want to reach through the screen of his sanctimony and strangle him through the screen. You want to strangle him till the blood comes out of his eyes. And that brings us to Madoff again. Anyone listening to this show, were you robbed by Madoff? Were you robbed by Madoff? That's an old story, but it's a new story because it's coming back again. You may not know this, but what happened then is going to happen again. There are many Madoffs running around America taking your money. And I'd rather talk about the movie The Big Short. I'd rather talk about Madoff. If you call me about this Cruz Trump thing, I'm not taking your call. I won't do it. I'll go on strike. I will not do it. 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 I'd rather never do radio again if I have to do this. That's like a death sentence for me. It's like breaking rocks at San Quentin, even though they don't break rocks anymore. If you said to me, here's a sledgehammer, break rocks, I'd rather do that than talk about Cruz and Trump. How do you like that? I can't do it. I won't do it. I refuse to do it. I'm on strike. Period. I will not do it. If that's all you want to talk about, you know what? Find another show to listen to, because you're not going to hear about it on this show today. I've had enough of it. It's driving me crazy listening to this. Okay? Let's have an election already and get over with this nonsense. Choose one from column A. That would be the Democrats, a commie and a criminal. Go ahead, take your choice. Or you want to choose from column B. You have a showman, a shaman, and a shanda. Make your choice there, whichever you want. And don't tell me the Republic's in crisis and the world's coming to an end. You know, we know the whole story already. I've been saying it for years. Up to a point, it's true. And beyond a certain point, it's nothing but P.T. Barnum. That's all. So let's go back to what I'm talking about. Did you see the Madoff thing last night? Already you got a Schmendrick on line one who you can drop immediately. He's saying what I said 2 days ago about the Glass-Steagall Act. He heard it on my show. He forgot he heard it on my show. Now he's calling me to repeat it on my show like I never heard it about the Glass-Steagall Act, even though it's part of my book 3 books ago. This is what I love about talk radio. They listen to your show and then call you like they discovered it. Much Ado About Nothing. Many of you don't even know the play. It was a comedic play written by a dead white male named William Shakespeare. And it says everything I need to say about this election. It combines elements of hilarity, meditations on honor, shame, court politics. It's Much Ado About Nothing. And yes, indeedy, Much Ado About Nothing. You know, when we get to the election, I'll tell you whether I'm going to choose a cheese head or a knockwurst head. As I said to you last week, listening to the campaign that's ongoing. Now, I feel that if we went ahead 100 years from now, and we look back upon the year 2016 in America, someone would write a parody that it was the age of the cheeseheads versus the knockwurst heads. That one party wore a block of cheese on their heads, and the other party wore a knockwurst on their heads. That's about as much sense as I can make out of this. The corruption on both sides is equivalent. The people who represent both sides are about the equivalent. There is almost no difference in the corruption and the hypocrisy of either party, which is why a true independent such as myself, Michael Savage, is misunderstood by both sides and distrusted by both sides because they don't own me. And by not owning me, they cannot control me. And by not controlling me, I am a threat to them. So it's the same thing all over again. And so that's why I went to the movies the other night. I never go to the movies. It was a Wednesday, I think. What's today? Thursday. It was Tuesday night. It was getting dark early. It was cold out. The dog was somewhere. He wasn't with me. So I never go to the movies. I like to watch movies at home. And I went over to a little theater over here, a little one. There were 4 people in the theater. Because I knew what it was about, The Big Short. You see, I had been walking by the theater on the weekend, and the kid who takes tickets in there came running over to me. Dr. Savage, Dr. Savage, and we talked. I said, what movies are playing? He said, well, there's a movie you'd like called The Big Short. I said, I never heard of it. He said, well, it's about the housing crisis of 2008. I said, really? Can I go in and look? I'm not going to stay. I peeked in. It looked well done. So I said, I'll be back. So I went Tuesday night. And I say it's worth watching. I mean, because if you want to know what's going on and what's going to go on, you know, that's number one. And then last night, I can't wait till tonight. I'm going to watch. And believe me, I'm not going to watch the Democrat dog and pony show between the criminal and the commie. Believe me, I'm not going to watch the commie versus the criminal tonight. I'm going to watch part two of the ABC miniseries called Madoff. I want to see him go to jail. I want to see one of his sons jump off a building. I want to know why Ruth Madoff is not in prison. Am I wrong in asking that? You know, we have weird laws in America that, let's say you're a criminal kingpin. If you get arrested and go to prison, you know that your wife has immunity from prosecution. Why is that? What is she, the gentler sex? She didn't ride around in his limousines. She didn't fly in a private plane. She didn't fly on go on his yacht. She didn't live in the big penthouse. She didn't eat like a chaza in the apartment. She didn't chaz down $1,000 bottles of wine as it was all going down. Why is Ruth Madoff living out of prison in Connecticut? Why did the government, the corrupt government, allow her to take $2.5 million and call it a pittance of what she had? She had nothing. She lived on stolen money. They ruined lives. There's more to this story than meets the eye. Where did all those missing billions go? I'll tell you where one of the billions went. The crook lawyer who was appointed the trustee of all of the people who are making claims, he should be in prison, in my opinion. The crooked lawyer that they appointed took $1 billion in fees. Do you know that? That crooked thief who they appointed to be the executor or whatever they call it, the overseer of all of the stolen money, that crook has taken down $1 billion in legal fees. You want to see a corrupt system? There's a corrupt system. And that sets the tone for the show today. And again, were you robbed by Bernie Madoff? Do you think Ruthie Madoff is hiding the money and she should be shielded? I don't. Is she hiding money? I always thought the money was hidden somewhere. You know, here's a little thing that it's hard for me to say because it's going to feed a lot of conspiracy theories. It's well known that he gave a lot of money to Israel. Did you know that? Robert, did you know that Madoff, either from donations or whatever, and Israel refuses to return the money? Oh, you didn't know that. This is a very interesting paradox here. A lot of the charities that he robbed were Jewish charities. They trusted him because he was Jewish. I'm sorry to have to keep repeating it, but a lot of the big Jewish charities trusted him because he was one of them. He robbed them all equally. So you can't say Bernie Madoff was a racist. He was just a raider. Bernie Madoff was not a racist. He was a raider. He stole equally, if not more so, from Jewish people because they trusted him. It just shows you what this gets you when you trust people based on your ethnicity. I can make a quick jump in faith here to talk about Barack Obama and his folks, but that would be jumping too far for the average person. They'd fall into the abyss. Well, that sets the stage. The Big Short, Madoff, starring Richard Dreyfuss. We will get to Obama with his speech yesterday at the mosque. We will get to Jimmy Carter saying he'd vote for Trump over you-know-who. For reasons that are crazy, but that's what you'd expect from a crazy man. And all the other news, views, and reviews on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. Again, the same song. Turn this off now. Go search for some heavy metal that I like. Look, I'm trying to warn you it's going to happen again. I told you the housing bubble was built upon a house of cards and fraud, which you all know. I mean, that's not a revelation. I told you I saw the movie The Big Short, which was too complicated for even me to follow. And I sat with a woman who runs a multi-billion dollar company. She could hardly follow it, so it's never going to be a popular movie. But it's a great movie because you understand that the fraud in the housing bubble was exploited in a certain way. That's what you get to understand. And it's happening again. What they did was is they changed the name of the game from CDOs, credit default swaps. They invented BTOs, bespoke tranche opportunities, which is just Wall Street language. BTOs are bespoke tranche opportunities. What does it mean? The same thing as a CDO meant. They're back at it again. It's going to happen again. Everything that, you know, whatever goes up must come down. And I have to tell you that one of my advertisers, it sounds like an infomercial, unfortunately for you, it's true. Swiss America, my gold people, wrote a book called Don't Bank on It. And I gave out thousands of copies for free on this show. It tells you exactly what I'm talking about. So you should go to check out your book if you got it, or go to them and get it again. It's going to happen again. That's why I'm talking about it. I'm trying to save you. And I'm talking about Madoff. I saw it last night. I loved it. Even though I generally don't like Richard Dreyfuss, I've always kind of got an ick factor about him. He was great as Madoff because he's such a creep. He has that engaging, like, uncle smile that you want to like as he's conning people and ripping them off. This is the part I like. I never trusted guys like that. In fact, I detested them. I detested them with every strand of DNA in me hated those kind of people. I went to high school with them. I went to junior high school with them. I went to elementary school with them. I ran away from them as far as I could get. I ran to the Fiji Islands to flee them. Don't get me started on those people, please. And he ripped everyone off around himself. So you say, well, God punished him. Oh, yeah, well, in a way, sure. He's in prison, even though he's in prison. One son died by committing suicide. The other son died of cancer. So you could say God punished them. But I say leave vengeance to God, not to man. Nevertheless, it's an interesting story. And if you were robbed by Madoff and you want to tell us about it, I'd like to hear about it. Right here on the Nun Cruz, Nun Trump Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Who's Trump? Why, I tell you, he said that about him, and I tell you, he really didn't say that about him. It was CNN who said this about them, and I'm going to talk about this for 8 years now.
I'm talking about Madoff's Ponzi scheme, the largest financial scam in U.S. history. Global impact. It gave us Obama, by the way. Is one of the things that gave us Obama. No, he didn't give us Obama, really. It followed Obama, because it dominated headlines in 08, 09. Obama did nothing, really, to stop it. He was part of the same machine. It was the other movie, The Big Short, that tells the real estate collapse story from 07, but it was 05 through 07. And that's why I'm talking about the Madoff scam, because it's about to happen again. How many little Madoffs are out there right now running scams on you? What do you think, it can't happen again? You know, it's interesting, before I play the trailer and take your calls, and I'm having a good time, thank you, I saw an article entitled High Risk Investment That Brought Down the U.S. Economy Returns with a New Name. And it was an article written by the far left Think Progress, funded by George Soros. Normally you'd say I would dismiss it, but they're right. High Risk Investment That Brought Down the U.S. Economy Returns with a New Name. And I posted it on michaelsavage.com. And they write a great paragraph, well written. It says, when a restaurant fails a health code inspection, sometimes the easiest thing to do is close up shop, let people forget what happened, then slap a new sign on the door and reopen under a new name. That's essentially what the world's biggest banks are doing with a complex high-risk investment product that helped destroy the global economy less than 8 years ago. Then they write this. Goodbye collateralized debt obligations, CDOs. Hello bespoke tranche opportunities, BTOs. And then they talk about the banks that are now selling bespoke tranche opportunities, which sales leapt from $5 billion in 2013 to $20 billion last year. Can you believe this? Do you know that in 2010, the total on paper value of every derivative contract worldwide, was $1.4 quadrillion, or 23 times the total economic output of the entire planet? And that's why I'm talking about it. To me, this is interesting. You talk about fiscal conservatism. Then I have to agree, if I'm a fiscal conservative, with the far left who has a criticism of this. It's that simple. See, for us to dismiss everything that the left says is as foolish as them dismissing everything I say. They're idiots if they do that. If they, oh, I don't like Michael Savage. You don't listen to me, but you don't like me? That makes you a fool. Now, for you to say, therefore, that everything the far left says, or generally, by the way, it's garbage. Classic, class warfare, race warfare, you name it, economic warfare, I get it. But this is 100% right. High-risk investment that brought down the U.S. economy returns with a new name. So that's what I'm talking about. Bernie Madoff, the collapse of the housing bubble, it's fascinating to me. It's fascinating to live through it again, and no one's doing anything about it. The same exact elements are in place for another collapse. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to happen right after a Republican is elected. As sure as I am sitting here, this is the game that's being played out. We've had 8 years of a corrupt criminal Democrat called Barack Obama. That's the game plan. We're all fed up with him. We know what he is. And we're saying, yeah, we need a Republican. So we're going to get a Republican, whoever it is, and then the economy is going to blow out. And they'll blame it on the Republicans. It's exactly the way the game is played. We had 8 years of the corrupt criminal Bumbler Bush. And in the last 4 months of his regime, I was on this radio show. I had a radio show then, remember, for 21 years. Those who know me, I said, watch out for what's coming. I said, Bush is a fiscal socialist, and you haven't seen what he's going to do yet. And what happened was somewhat predictable. I saw it coming. It happened. Then we had Obama. Now we had 8 years of this corrupt criminal organization. And he'll leave scot-free. Nothing will happen under his watch other than World War III, a slow burner on that one. We'll have a combination of an economic collapse and World War III if the wrong Republican is elected who attacks Russia. If the right Republican is elected, we might avoid both. But that's a separate story for right now. So let me play the trailer for Madoff, because it was on channel ABC last night. The second part's tonight, which I can't wait for, with the commercials, because I want to see Madoff go to jail. Let's hear it now.
You want to know how to get people to trust you with their money? I'll tell you right now. You present it as an exclusive thing. Look, it's a closed fund. Nothing on earth makes people want something more than telling them they can't have it. People give me their money and I make them richer than God.
Madoff Securities is the world's largest Ponzi scheme.
I'm a rainmaker. I make it rain.
I'm the vice president and all I do is hire the decorators.
People are going to be destroyed. Lives are going to be destroyed with this thing.
I have something to tell you.
How much did you lose?
$50 billion. Somebody turned me in.
Left us no choice. Us or him. You want to save yourself, Mom? You let him rot in jail where he belongs.
Madoff. Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, for a TV series, that which say it's a melodrama, it's a good one. And the characters are great. I even like him. I like him, whatever his name is again. Dreyfuss. Normally I can't stand the man, but he plays a good role because he's the type of individual I've detested my whole life, the type I ran away from in New York. Then you got Michael Rispoli as Frank DiPasquale. He's amazing. Once you see Michael Rispoli, you'll recognize him. He's been in a lot of, like, Sopranos. And then you got Frank Whaley as Harry Markopoulos. Forgive me for mispronouncing his Greek name, but he's the hero of the show. Frank Whaley, he tried to blow the whistle on him. Features Charles Grodin. And was an ABC News chief correspondent, Brian Ross, is reporting from his book, The Madoff Chronicles. That is the basis for this. And Brian Ross is pretty good. So the whole thing's good. And there's an awful lot to be learned from it. And it's entertaining. And I'm having a good time. And thank God we're talking about something other than New Hampshire, where the new motto under Bernie and Hillary should be live free and get high. Yeah, that should be the motto of the Democrat Party in New Hampshire. Live free and get high. That's about it. So let's go to a quick caller or two. Mark on WABC in New York. What's on your mind, Mark?
Yes, I just wanted to let you know that in the mid-'80s to about 1990, I worked for Madoff on the legitimate side of his business. And there were two things in retrospect that made me scratch my head because it didn't make sense. And in retrospect, I can see why I was confused. The first thing was when we moved to the Lipstick Building, we were only on one floor. So the legitimate business and the Madoff business were in the same trading area. And there were two trading platforms that everybody was told could only be used by Bernie Madoff. And in the years...
Well, but Mark, hold on. When he went down, what happened to a guy like you? Well, you weren't there at that time?
I left in the early 90s. So actually,
you left way before it all came down?
Well, I left before the time period of the investigation, but from what I understand, they believe he was doing this way back into the 70s, but they...
That's what I'm reading now, is that this started in the 70s, so that would include when you were there, but you're saying you had no way to know it, but now you're looking on backwards and you say you should have known it, right?
Makes sense. Well, they
just... Yeah, but do you agree, but Mark, as an insider with the Madoff firm, I don't mean an insider who did the scam, don't you agree with me that the government let him get away with the SEC, that they should have gone to prison for looking the other way? Were they paid off, in your opinion, were some of these SEC people or the oversight groups at the accounting firms, weren't they involved in this conspiracy? Were they paid off?
Well, it's hard to know for sure. One argument is there are a lot of novice investigators who were probably intimidated by the man.
Oh, so they got kids out of Wharton or something who sat in the office with him and were awestruck by him.
But reviewing this, it's a fact that his banker through this whole period was J.P. Morgan Chase, and J.P. Morgan Chase was investing with him. But about 6 months prior to the FBI coming in with an indictment, they pulled all their money out. Now, I can't say with any kind of clarity that they knew, but that does seem very coincidental.
Yeah, who, old Jamie Dimon, a good friend of Barack Obama?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure who was involved with this, but...
Yeah, well, isn't that a group? That bank was run by somebody. You know, that leads us to Hillary Clinton. She got a $675,000 payment for one speech by Goldman Sachs. Do you know that?
I knew she was getting heavy fees from a...
Can you believe a $675,000 payment for a single speech, three speeches to Goldman Sachs? Mark, thank you. What I want to do now is play an interchange between Hillary Clinton to bring this down to the political level here, because it's all related to what we're watching going on right now. Last night at a CNN town hall in Derry, New Hampshire, moderator Anderson Cooper asked Hillary Clinton, did you have to be paid the money? Listen to this interchange. Hillary gets flustered in her answer. It's an embarrassment to listen to this. Go ahead.
But did you have to be paid $675,000?
Well, I don't know. That's what they offered. So every Secretary of State that I know has done that.
But that's usually once they're office and not running for an office again.
Well, I didn't
know.
To be honest, I wasn't committed to running. I didn't know whether I would or not.
You didn't think you were going to run for president again?
I didn't. When I was Secretary of State, several times I said, I think I'm done.
Every Secretary of State does it, and I didn't know I was going to run for the office. Do you accept that as an answer, as a Democrat? How can anyone vote for this woman? I don't understand it. And I jokingly said the motto of the Democrat Party in New Hampshire is live free and get high. I don't know, maybe Hillary has taken that motto to heart, because nobody bought it. Even liberals have run away from her, which is why the crackpot Bernie Sanders is doing so well. It's not that they like him so much. It's that she is so corrupt that she stinks to high heaven. This is like an individual that nobody can get behind except those who are going to benefit directly from a Clinton win. And so the young idealists who don't know any better, they generally have no idea what they're talking about. And that's the way the young are. They're foolish. They're not all stupid, but they're foolish. They haven't learned anything yet. They're rallying behind the maniac, Sanders. It's not because he's so appealing. It's because she is so unappealing. Write that one down. So you see how I neatly tied the story of the Madoff thing, the trailer for The Big Short, to Clinton, and brought it down to the news. You see how it all works? When a show works well, you tie it all together. And that's why it takes thought. That's why the show's motto is talk radio for the thinking person, because you actually have to have listened from the beginning to here to get to Clinton. I could just play the soundbite and say, isn't she terrible? It would have very little impact on you. But when you see its connection to the housing bubble, the Madoff scandal, and understand she's part and parcel of that same exact construct, then you understand what I'm saying. See? Okay. So now we can move on by taking an additional call or two when I come back and moving on to other topics. And believe me, I have stuff from the news that I have to get to. It's like 10 pages of great sound. Obama saying Islam is rooted in a commitment to compassion, mercy, justice, and charity. Really? And, you know, all of us gag on statements like this in a time when we see Muslims cutting off heads, raping and killing their way across the Middle East. And we beg the question, Mr. Obama, why must you sell us on Islam if it's such a peaceful religion? And if it's such a loving religion, why do you have to sell it so hard? I haven't heard any other president sell Christianity of you. Have you heard a president get up and say that Christianity is such a great religion and here's why I'm here? No. Why is he selling it so hard if it's exactly what he says it is? That's number one. Then we get off him and we move to Mark Cuban, says he's open to all GOP candidates except Ted Cruz. That's an important sound bite. Then we have Jeb Bush to an audience. He finishes his speech and says, please clap. It's beyond belief to watch the end of the Bush dynasty come to an end, crashing down around his loafers. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. If I'm feeling brain dead from this campaign, you must be brain dead. That's all I can tell you. I don't know how anyone can listen to it. I don't know. I mean, I'm groping here. That's why I said I'll take a day off and I'll just think about something else because I've had enough of this. The endless campaign. You know, it goes back to bread and roses. That's what it really is. Deluding you with this endless campaign. When those who devise bespoke tranche opportunities actually have picked the winner already. I can guarantee you, no matter what you think, those who devise BTOs have already picked the winner. Whether you know it or not. You can get all excited if you want. So, I'm a cynic when it comes down to it. Choose one from column A, if you wish, a commie or a criminal, tonight in New Hampshire, the land of the free and the home of the live free and get high state. Or you can go to the other side. You have a choice between a showman, a shaman, and a Shonda. I'll take the showman. At least it'll be entertaining. That's all. I mean, unless you want to break it down to sarcasm and cynicism, go ahead. I don't want to watch the shaman or the Shonda for 10 seconds. The showman I could take. Let's see if he follows through. And if you're really given towards literary criticism, you could say it's Much Ado About Nothing. Or The Sound and the Fury, if you read that. Or Obama on the mosque visit. As I said to you on the mosque visit, what was he selling it so hard? If Islam is the religion of peace and all that he says it is, why do you have to sell it so hard? Secondly, it's an embarrassment for a president to be pushing a religion like this. Whoever heard of a president selling a religion like he sells Islam?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
For those of you who just joined the show, you'll hear almost nothing about the presidential race today because I'm bored of it. And I have good instincts about radio, or I wouldn't have lasted these years. If I am bored of it, you are bored of it. I'll tell you right now. It's that simple. How can you spend every minute, every waking minute, dissecting every verb, every word? This one said that, and that one said this, and he's ahead, and he's behind, and he's up, and he's down. I'm not going to do it. Good luck to you if you like it. I'm talking about the housing crisis of 08 that gave us Obama. Actually, the real estate collapse of 07, which began earlier than that from the gangsters who were running the credit default swaps and have now invented a new instrument to reboot the CDO machine. And they're selling them again. And it's happening again. The same banks are involved. And by the way, many of the candidates, especially Hillary Clinton, is up to her, what shall I say, on a family show, eyeballs. For her, that's particularly apt. She's beyond her eyeballs. She's underwater with this. The kind of money she's taken from these investment banks. So that's why the nut, the commie, is moving ahead, because she's so, I mean, she's so basically involved with this that they're going for the commie. He screams like he's not. Okay, yeah. Go look into his background before you get so excited about the great socialist Bernie. And now I want to talk about Madoff. And I asked a simple question because I think it makes for good radio. Were you robbed by Madoff? Why is Ruth Madoff shielded? Why is she enjoying a $2.5 million windfall of stolen money? Who said she should get $2.5 million? How did this guy Picard take $1 billion in fees? That's the guy who's supposed to be dividing up what's left and find out where. $1 billion in legal fees. You hear this? And he gave her $2.5 million like it's nothing. So she lives in a rented condo in Connecticut, and she drives a Toyota Prius, and she actually shops. You hear this? Really, that's really a stress. I mean, she enjoyed the limos pretty good and the penthouse, and she enjoyed all the perks of the stolen money. Why does American law say that if a wife is involved, like, how many times in The Sopranos, remember the show The Sopranos, when Tony would come home and the wife would ask him about something, he would say, I can't tell you, and go, shh, because if she didn't know about it, she couldn't be indicted. That's an interesting law, since she's living off the proceeds of crime, right? That's what we all said. What a country. Oh, the poor, the gentler sex. Yeah, right. Well, where did that law come from, that a wife is shielded from the crimes of the husband? I mean, I could see it if she really didn't know, but she was enjoying the perks of the bounty, right? All right, let's go down to the callers. Harvey on WABC has an interesting story to tell. Harvey, go ahead. What's your story?
My best friend's in-laws had a small clothing manufacturer. He made sweatshirts, sweatpants, down in Brownsville, down in Brooklyn, down around there. And during the late 60s, they hit it big when sweatshirts took off. They knew Madoff through other people. They invested with him. As it turned out, business boomed. Madoff crashed. These people lived nicely. $33 million gone. They now live.
Okay, but wait. Okay, they invested with him thinking they were going to make these fabulous 25% returns. What happened? Did they get any money back?
They're still waiting. They're living in a 3-room apartment on Nostrand Avenue in, down at Sheepshead Bay right now.
Oh, really? So they actually fell? They actually didn't pop back?
They're still waiting for Picard to give them money back because they didn't take anything out. But since they were close friends, they said they should have known what was going on.
So, Harvey, this is an offbeat show, is it not, in the midst of this political frenzy? Do you find this interesting?
What, the show or the...
My show. Do you find it interesting in the midst of a political season?
Yeah, it's relief.
Yeah, really? Yeah, see? It's a relief to me, too. I've had enough of it. How long can an election go on?
4 years.
I've had enough of it. You know, get back to me at another point, another juncture. I've had enough of this. So I figured so have you. Did you see the Madoff last night on the Madoff miniseries on ABC? Yes?
Yes, I watched it.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, but I don't think it was truthful, okay? They hit the high points, but they didn't put the low points in about him out there scamming everybody, just scamming.
And what did you think of Richard Dreyfuss playing Madoff?
I don't like the guy. I don't like the actor. Never did.
No, I see, I don't like the actor either, but don't you think he played that inveigling con man very well?
I don't know. They got a movie coming out on HBO with De Niro playing Madoff.
Yeah, right. And I hear the De Niro version is much better.
I think it'll be better.
Oh, De Niro's a classic, great actor compared to Dreyfuss. But nevertheless, from an American point of view, the biggest Ponzi scheme in history is certainly worth talking about, isn't it?
Without a doubt. It's like, you know.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. See, I mean to keep you entertained on the Savage Nation. And that's where we're doing this. And there's so much more I'm going to do on other stuff. I don't want to give you a summary job. I'm not going to give you a summation because the calls are slammed in here. Everyone wants to talk about this. Let's go to WABC. John, in New York City, on WABC, go ahead, please, on the Madoff Ponzi scheme. What happened to you?
So far, I haven't received anything back. I am out about almost $18 million.
Woo.
And I never took a nickel out. We lived on minimal amounts of money, so we just kept putting it in so that I would have something to leave children and something like that and, you know, stuff like that. And a friend of mine, first with Sanford Bernstein, said to me in the early 2000s, something's not kosher here, John. He said to me, if Jesus Christ came from the sky, I couldn't get you more than 8%. How is he getting you 18 at that time?
This was your life savings from your lifetime of toil, the 18 mil, right?
35 years of work. And I called Madoff, and he gets on the phone. And he yelled at you like you're a piece of garbage.
Oh, that he played the aggressor when you asked where the money was. Like, how dare you even ask me?
He said to me, do you think that, I'm not going to say the word, that I urinate that amount away on the weekend, that Tishka money that you have in that account?
Oh, my God. So he put down $18 million like it was nothing to humiliate you?
Right. And his wife, I knew them personally because we had a house in Long Island near them. She knew all about it right from the beginning because she would say to me all the time, we have a house in New Jersey also. You don't have any mortgages on the house here or the house at the beach. Why don't you take equity loans out and put the money in?
And oh, my God. It's just what I thought. So she was a co-conspirator, in your opinion.
Very charming. And she said, I said, you know what? I'm 60-something years old. I don't feel like having mortgages at my life at this age. Now I'm.
And she was. And she wanted you to take a mortgage out so he could then, what, take the money and put it in his fund?
Right.
Oh, my God. This is a great story, John. So, in essence, you know, what we're onto here is, because I'm a little offended that the missus gets to get $2.5 million from the lawyer, Picard, and not go to jail. I mean, I think that she's involved with it. I thought she was involved with it. That was my suspicion. Now, here's a caller saying he knows for a fact that she was trying to con him. Is there a prosecutor listening to this show? Do you think they care about this case anymore?
Used to call me or my people that are in my rank there, the crawlers. We're the last ones to get anything back. You know, that type.
Who, the lawyer Picard said you're a crawler?
We're the crawlers because we didn't take anything back. I have friends who did take out, who purchased, you know, real estate for their children and stuff like that. They had to give it. They lost everything. I luckily didn't have any more.
Well, explain to the average Joe listening to the show what you just said. People who invested with Madoff, who got profits and then invested the profits, they had to give back those profits to the lawyer collecting for everyone who was scammed, right?
Right. My friend now is being sued. I think she has to give them back, I don't know, $2 or $3 million. She had a townhouse on 11th Street, you know, for a million years, which they lost, and they lost everything. They're living in a little three-bedroom apartment. I mean, it's not so little, but it's, you know, compared.
No, this is an amazing story to me because I didn't know the details of this. People don't know that not only were lives ruined, but that how people are living. They think that it's all over. It's not all over. You're still living, but now here's the thing. The average person listening to this says, I have no sympathy for John on WABC. I don't have $18 million. It's as though you stole the money and invested. Or they'll say things like, well, he took a chance and he lost. That's his problem. That's what they're going to say, John. How would you answer them?
And I've heard of that already. I've heard that from friends of mine, that how could you put almost everything you had all with this one person? Because my father-in-law had it was 35 years with them, and they lost more than I did. And I was with them for 25 years. And he would say to me, the only reason why I let you in here was because of Mr. Cohen and because of his money. And otherwise, I wouldn't even look at you. I
mean, oh, my God. In other words, you were nothing to him because it was only $18 million. And your father-in-law had so much more money that he was the big man. Oh, my God. It makes you want to strangle a guy like that, doesn't it?
And you know what? You would want to because you would see that pertinent here, that little arrogant look in his face, and he'd do that little smile, and I'd want to punch him in the face. And his wife was just so charming and the whole thing, and, you know, the whole thing was, you know.
I want to deal with this another minute. John, did you grew up in New York, right? You're in that milieu, correct?
I grew up in Brooklyn, and I live in New Jersey since I'm 20.
All right. What kind of guy was Madoff, in your opinion, as a kid? What kind of boy would he have been? If we go back to when you were a junior high school, which kid was he?
He would have been a real punk. He would have been a real conniver. He would have said, "You do this, and we would get in trouble, and he would be the one that would benefit by it."
And then he'd blame you for it. God. Now, I understand Ruthie Madoff was quite a catch when she was young. She was pretty. She was blonde. How did he get her? He wasn't rich at the time. How did he get her?
Well, you know, at that time, he had probably a little bit of money and probably due to the families and stuff. I mean, did I like her? Yeah, I liked her. She was very charming. Here, I never trusted. And the kids, I always think they knew also. I think he took the rap for them and said, you know what? I'm going to say you knew nothing. I'm old already. I'm going to jail. That's what I...
Oh, but now one of them committed suicide and one got died of cancer, right?
Right. The one that committed suicide was a really nice young man. And I just think he was so upset for what his father did.
Unbelievable. The sins of the fathers. What a call this is that... It's impossible to tell people what they're listening to unless they understand it from the get-go. And I want to thank you for having the fortitude to even talk about your loss of $18 million to such an evil human being as Bernie Madoff. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO.
To me, I would not be here tonight. I would not be running for president of the United States if I did not have very strong religious and spiritual feelings. I believe that as a human
all
being,
right.
The pain
yeah,
that
all right.
One
now he's
person...
religious. You know, Bernie Sanders is eerily like Bernie Madoff. That's why I'm doing that. I realize what's going on here in my thinking. We have a Bernie Madoff running for the president. His name is Bernie Sanders. Not 2 months ago, he said he's not religious. Something like he's not a practicing Jew. I don't know what practicing means. Either you're Jewish or you practice being Jewish? You've gotten to look for a burning bush? You bring a lighter fluid and a match and throw it on a bush, and if it catches fire, then you're not a practicing Jew, you're actually Jewish? Now he's telling us he has deep religious beliefs. What are they, Bernie? What are you, a Muslim, Jewish, Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, Zoroastrian, Azini? Are you ravioli? What are you? Azini, ravioli? I don't know what the man is. Now he has deep religious beliefs because he was asked about it. So he's the Bernie Madoff of the campaign. A twin, an emotional twin to Bernie Madoff. He's running the biggest Ponzi scheme in American political history, making people believe he's an honest man because he's poor. You know, not every poor man is honest. They're stupid. Some poor men are just dumb or lazy. See, you're confusing poverty with integrity. I know some rich people are very good people. I know some poor people are as dumb as dirt. Unbelievable to me how people have to be, everything has to be explained to them. I guess this is what the beauty of a show is. That if you have wisdom, you've been around long enough, you can actually explain to people what's really going on and what's really happening. But to be honest with you, to not have to talk about the campaign, it's a thrill for me. I am and I'm not in a certain way, you know. Look at the calls we're getting. Here's another beauty. You and I on line 6 from WJR, fire away a minute or less. What's on your mind?
I have very little sympathy for those people who lost their money through Bernie Madoff because every one of them thought they were getting something for nothing. They were going to get 20% on their money while us schlubs could only get, 2% in a bank? They knew there was something wrong with that whole scheme, and they just wanted it good. They wanted to get in on the goods while the... Getting was good.
Your attitude is not atypical of many millions of people. I assume you're a Bernie Sanders voter.
Oh no! Oh God, no, no! I'm more mature than that.
So, which of the candidates from column A and column B appealed to you? With given your attitude and antipathy towards the investor class, who would you vote for?
I have no preference right now. They all disgust me equally.
You're a real cynic.
Hey, Mr. Elliott, which eye do you want poked out?
You know, when I opened the show today, I said, much ado about nothing. Choose one from column A between a commie and a criminal, or one from column B between a showman, a shaman, and a shanda. Did you hear that opening?
Yeah.
Probably not, but thank you for the call. No one heard it. My best line of the day, though, which won't be quoted by anyone, but you should be glad you're listening, is the New Hampshire motto of the Democrat Party is live free and get high. I think that's funny. New Hampshire has a lot of poor people in it, by the way. You don't know the history of New Hampshire. It's a tax-free state, number one. That tells you an awful lot about it. Number two, if you know anything about connections between it and pizzerias in New York, you'll know where I'm coming from.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
You know, there's a story I want to talk about in the middle of all the other stuff we're talking about. The Madoff thing, the Big Short, the housing crisis, Bernie Sanders being the Madoff of the election. Same type. A twin. If I met these two in a living room, I couldn't tell a difference between the two of them, between Madoff and Sanders. The same type, the big smile, the engaging grin, chutzpah on them that you can't believe. You know, using aggression to bring people down and back them off, you know, winning through intimidation. They wrote the book. Bernie Madoff and Bernie Sanders didn't read the book. They wrote the book, Winning Through Intimidation. So this story is in the middle of it all. Man sucked out of plane, might have been suicide bomber. The cell phone video of it is frightening. If you see the hole in the plane, they found residue now. He used a wheelchair to circumvent security measures in Mogadishu and before detonating the device, and it didn't bring the plane down, according to the Wall Street Journal. His flaming body landed near the town of Balad, whatever that means. No one knows where that is. So the guy they think was a suicide bomber, the bomb went off. It didn't blow the plane up, thank God. It blew a hole in the plane. He got sucked out. They found his flaming body on the ground. And they found residue. I know there's no more to the story than that. You see the people running from the front of the plane. Some of them are smart enough to run right away when the hole appears. The others sit like Schmendricks. A bomb goes off, a guy gets sucked out, the other's sitting like schmucks till they're told to run away from the hole. The smart ones ran to the back of the plane. You see them high-footing it. The others sit there like a Schmendrick waiting for the stewardess to tell them what to do. You know, don't leave your seat. Sit there till you get sucked out. Whoa. So now let's go back to regular programming. I want to play a trailer from the movie The Big Short, which is the story of the real estate collapse of 2007, the CDOs that I've been talking about. Because they're back. Let's listen to clip one.
Banks have conditioned us to trust them. What have we got from that? 25% interest rates on credit cards. They have screwed us on student loans, and we can never get out from under.
When the banks committed the greatest fraud in U.S. history.
No one is paying attention.
It's unbelievable.
Four outsiders risked it all to take them down.
We're going to make the big banks hurt.
How can the banks let this happen?
It's fueled by stupidity.
But that's not stupidity, that's fraud.
Tell me the difference between stupid and illegal and I'll have my wife's brother arrested.
Banks got greedy and we can profit off of their stupidity.
Do you have any idea what you're up against?
Rated R.
I don't know why it's rated R. That's stupid. I mean, there's no women in it. There's not one love scene, nothing. I mean, they would have saved the movie with one love scene. I don't know how they could have worked it in, but it was in some ways very boring, The Big Short. But it's worth seeing if you're interested in how they brought down the housing market and who made money on it. They didn't really name all the people involved who made billions, by the way. I was waiting for the real names of the real gun-offs, gangsters. They didn't really name them. And they didn't name the head of the SEC, who should be in prison, in my opinion. But nevertheless, it does a good job as a melodrama, The Big Short. I think that Christian Bale is great as Michael Burry, who invented the CDO, the credit default swaps. I like Peter Epstein as Paul Baum. I like, I like some of the actors, Ryan Gosling as Jared Vinette. And I think you'd enjoy the movie if you're interested, but it's not easy to watch because it's a very heavy mathematical plot, and they have to keep explaining it in the third person. They pop out of the screen and say, that's why I did this, because they knew the average audience was not going to follow it. I'm pretty good on statistics. At some point, I went to, it's like, what are they talking about? See, I'm not good at high finance. I'm very good at low finance. I was always the kind of kid, I would work in a luncheonette. I'd make $9 or something for cleaning dishes. And then I would go home, do homework late, go to school, and I put money in the bank. I liked the little bank account. That's how I was. I was raised to save money. I come from lower middle class background, immigrant family, and they were not that smart. They didn't know high finance. It doesn't mean they would had great virtue for not knowing it. There's some very virtuous, very wealthy people, by the way, that I've met in my life. But you have a head for high finance or you don't. I don't. You understand that there are people who have a mind for this kind of thing? They're not all crooks. The world runs off finance. I never had a mind for finance. It's an amazing field. I don't understand it. I've worked very hard, and I've saved money. I've made some small investments in real estate in my life, and I've done okay. But the thing is this. I couldn't understand the whole movie, but it's worth watching. I was sitting with a woman who was the CFO of a multi-billion dollar company, and she enjoyed the first hour. Then I saw she was going blank on it. It was so complicated. So why am I talking about it? Why? Because the fiduciary instrument called the credit default swap, or CDO, that was invented at the time by the man who came up with the scam, the doctor who invented the whole idea, is now back. They're called BTOs, bespoke tranche opportunities. So what I'm trying to say to you is, you know, what goes around comes around is coming around again. So it's adapted from a book called The Big Short, Inside the Doomsday Machine, and it traces the roots of the global market collapse through the eyes of those who saw it coming and figured out ways to profit from it. And first out of the gate was Michael Burry, Dr. Michael Burry, played by Christian Bale, a stock-picking shaman with a glass eye and an utter lack of social graces, who's able to crunch numbers while running around his office barefoot and running around his office barefoot, right? He's sort of a hippie doctor. And how does it happen? This doctor goes through the thousands of individual mortgages at the time that made up the securities that underwrote so much of the banking industry. And while bankers thought that they were solid, that no one ever defaults on a mortgage, Dr. Burry realized that a dangerous number of subprime home loans were on the verge of going south. And he decided to plug more than $1 billion of investors' money into credit default swaps. And so what he did effectively was bet against the housing market. He goes to investment banks such as Goldman and, I believe, a German bank whose name I forget right now. I don't remember all the banks. And they think he's nuts. They say, well, how are you going to bet it against it? There's no such way to do it. So he comes up with a thing called a credit default swap. He invents it. And they say, sure, we'll take your money, because they feel that mortgages are going to go, like, collapse, because people pay their mortgages. He had studied the individual mortgages and saw that people in 05 were already bailing. They couldn't make payments. You following me? What I'm saying to you? So, anyway, it's a fantastic story. And there's some great actors like Steve Carell playing a fictional character who's a self-hating hedge funder. Who blows up at the slightest turn of events. He's good at it. But you need a head for business, and you need to be an investor, I think, to really enjoy it. The movie's not going to make any big money. It'll win awards. And, you know, who's in it? Brad Pitt plays a role in it. Terrible role. He's not believable in it at all. I think he took it just to attack big business, which is, of course, typical of Brad Pitt. All right, so that's the background to the show. We're avoiding the minute-to-minute, second-to-second Trump thing and the Sanders and the Cruz and the Schmooze, because as far as I'm concerned, Cruz is a snooze, and I'm not going to do it. The whole thing is a snooze. I can't take it. And Sanders is the Bernie Madoff of the election, identical, a twin. Ask anyone who knows what I'm talking about, who knows Madoff. Sanders is Madoff. And I have to play that clip again. They get questioned on a TV show about religion all of a sudden. And Clinton, of course, is a holy roller all of a sudden. Who asked him about it? Was it where's the clip? I can't find out. 5,000 pages here. Where's the page on the clip? What number is this? Here. Got it. On CNN, they were asked by Anderson Cooper about spirituality. Now, here's Hillary first in clip 26. This is a real scream. Listen to this one.
I feel very fortunate that I am a person of faith, that I was raised in my church, and that I have had to deal and struggle with a lot of these issues about
Come on.
Ambition and humility, about service and self-gratification.
All right, you get all the picture. We don't have to listen to everywhere. Okay, got it. No, she says my church without identifying the word Christianity. Notice she doesn't say I'm Christian. Notice she ducks it, my church. I'm surprised she didn't say my house of worship. So you might confuse her for a Muslim or a Jewish person or a Hindu or a Buddhist. She could say my house of worship. Then you could think she's any one of the above. Plug it in. Now they ask the Madoff of the election, Bernie Sanders, about his. Now remember, a few months ago he says, I'm not a practicing Jew. I don't believe in religion. I don't believe in God. I am not a practicing Jew. But now all of a sudden he finds religion in clip 29.
To me, I would not be here tonight. I would not be running for president of the United States if I did not have very strong religious and spiritual feelings.
Feelings.
I believe that as a human being, the pain that one person feels, if we have children,
if they eat a too big a corned beef sandwich, the pain that I feel is a pain that only Mr. Katz himself should feel. That's what I basically believe. That if I eat a large corned beef sandwich with too much bread and too much mustard, and I have a pickle and I swallow down French fries after it, the pain I feel should only go to the man who sold it to me. That is the kind of religion that I believe in. And that is why I say I am a very religious, spiritual man. So he's the Madoff of the campaign. There's no question about that. And now it's time to go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Wow, look at this caller. This is not true. Is this one true? Robert, on KSFO, you sure this really happened? Really happened to you?
Yeah. No, it definitely did happen. It was late towards my time. I only spent a year there. But
Wait. Now tell the people what it says. On my call screen aboard, it says, Robert did time with Peter Madoff. Is that true? Which prison was this in?
This was in Estill, South Carolina. That's in a lower minimum security prison in South Carolina, right next to Savannah, Georgia.
So, but were you in for financial fraud?
No, not at all. Not white-collar crime. It was marijuana-related.
All right, so you got to rub shoulders with different types, different crimes, and you met one of the criminals, Peter Madoff. What kind of guy was he?
To be honest with you, as soon as he got there, he really stuck to himself. That's the way it is at the beginning, but I'm Latin myself. I had a friend of mine who was a Cuban, of Jewish faith, but Cuban, and he kind of took to Peter. He made friends with him, but he was also in there for a Ponzi scheme as well.
God. Oh, don't say it.
The one to approach him.
Oh, God, that's awful. It's just awful. So did you get to know Peter? How does he feel about his crime?
This is exactly what he told me. He spoke very negatively of Bernie. And like you said, I've rubbed shoulders with all types of people. And to tell you the truth, Mike, he seems remorseful for what he did. I know it doesn't make up for anything, but he seems remorseful for what he did. He's like 68 years old. He's probably 70 years old now. And he has...
Now, wait. Peter is Bernie Madoff's brother? Is that who he is?
Yeah, he was an attorney. He was an attorney, and I think that...
But wait, I'm just trying to follow the characters. Peter Madoff was Bernie Madoff's brother?
Correct.
Okay. And he's serving 10 years, correct?
10 years, yeah. And Bernie's serving 150 in North Carolina, I believe.
All right, so you're saying he felt remorseful. But, you know, I don't know how this works. You're in prison. White-collar crime, fine. Is it the same jungle as it is in a general prison, meaning that the things that go on in a general prison population happen in the white-collar prisons as well?
No. In a state penitentiary like, you know, the dangerous ones in California, it gets real political and real violent real quick. In these prisons, the prison camps, it's drug offenders who are there for less than 10 years and people who are there for white-collar crime. So there could be violence, but nothing compared to the state prisons and higher...
Well, the reason I ask is a guy like Madoff, a financial con man, how would a general... Prisoners might look up to him.
I mean, there were a few. I mean, the white-collar guys, and there were a few, investors there and people that were into real estate. You know, obviously...
The reason I say it is I understand Bernie Madoff is having a good time in prison, that many of the other inmates ask him for investment advice.
Yeah, that happens all the time. A lot of people there ask for investment advice, legal advice. A lot of
Can you imagine that he's a hero in prison to the other crooks and criminals because he knows more about how to scam people than anyone else, so they actually look up to him? He's like a scout leader.
That's how it's always going to be. But believe it or not, there's a lot of conservative people in prison. I mean, most of the white collar guys, to tell you the truth, are conservative. You know why?
No, say it like it is. I'm not here to correct what you say. I can believe it because that way they pay less taxes. I get it. So much of the conservative movement is filled with hypocrites who only want to pay as few taxes as possible, and I can't blame them. I pay far too many taxes. But unfortunately, it's basically people who want to keep every dime for themselves, and they're resentful if they have to pay any money.
Yeah, there were a lot of congressmen in there for tax evasion. There was also an Asian guy there who owned a few buffets who was in there for having illegal immigrants working for him, which I know is a big topic now, and that's why I can't.
That's a crime in America? Don't they work for Obama? All right, buddy, thanks for the call. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. I don't think my average listener even knows what that means, but... Now, during this period of the Madoff and the housing crisis and the bubble, actually not during the Madoff thing, but during the housing crash where the CDOs were raging out of control and someone was trying to blow the whistle on it, and then during the Madoff period when someone was trying to blow the whistle on him, rather, there was an SEC that did nothing. And if I remember correctly, it was Christopher Cox, used to work for Reagan, 16 years a Republican, 17-year Republican member of the United States House of Representatives, a White House staff member in the Reagan administration, a fine man in many ways. He was chairman of the SEC, 28th chairman of the SEC from 05 to 09, exactly during the period that this housing bubble was created and crashed out the houses. He was succeeded by Mary Shapiro, S-C-H-A-P-I-R-O, another one who let it all happen. Looked the other way, wouldn't listen to the whistleblowers. And I want to ask you something. If you were damaged during the shorting of the housing market and lost your house, we've talked about Madoff investors. I want people who lost their houses during the crash of the housing market to call the show for the next hour, mixed in with all the news, views, and reviews that I am famous for.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And we are talking about a couple of things that are unique to radio these weeks. We are not talking about the campaign to any extent. A few jokes about the campaign, such as the New Hampshire show and tell tonight between the communist and the criminal, where I said the New Hampshire motto of the Democrat Party should be live free and get high, which is funny. And then we talked about, were you scammed by Bernie Madoff? What happened? Did you know him? Amazing 2 hours. And then the housing bubble, and referencing a movie called The Big Short. Because both topics are related to this election in some ways, and I think you can pretty much figure out the ways they're connected. I mean, the greatest Ponzi scheme in American history, Madoff, it's happening again. And Madoff as a personality is identical to Bernie Sanders. They could be cousins. They could be from the same exact, they are from the same on you. They're from the same mentality. One became a scammer in finances, the other's a scammer in politics. 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago, he didn't believe in religion. Now he's a religious man. Same exact scam artist.
Then you got Hillary Clinton being asked by a CNN host, how did you take $675,000 as a fee during the big religion question? She says, everyone does it. That's what they offered. I wasn't committed to running for president. So it's all related. And I want to, before taking your calls, which we can't take by, the minute I said to you before the hour ended, if you lost your house during the housing bubble, give us a call and tell us what it was about, because it's going to happen again, in my estimation. Some people don't even know what happened, but it did happen. How was it when you lost your house? What actually happened? How did you even get a mortgage? Why were they giving you a mortgage when you couldn't pay for it? When I was a youngster and I bought my first house, I had to save my whole life. I saved $9,000, my life savings, to buy a house for $45,000 here in the Bay Area. It was everything I had. I mean, that little house that I bought in Fairfax, California, at $45,000 was the biggest thing in my life. But I knew I was getting a toehold in America. I had two young children. I had to get started. Actually, what am I talking about? I had one child at the time. But I had to buy something. I knew I had to buy something. So it was 20% down is the point. To get a mortgage, I had to put down 20% of the value of the house, period. Not 18%, not 19.5%. If you didn't put down 20%, you weren't getting a mortgage from a bank. They were very tightly run. Today, forget about it. And then what happened before the housing bubble was they were giving mortgages to people who certainly not only couldn't qualify, they preferred if you didn't qualify. They were giving mortgages to strippers who had 5-6 houses. Everyone was a real estate developer. Everyone thought that they were mini Donald Trump, and I'm not putting Donald down, but everyone thought that they were a big investor. Everyone thought they were a genius in the 70s and 80s. Do you know that? Everyone thought they were a financial wizard because the houses were going up. Okay, people need something to keep themselves going. So we're going to take calls on that and all the news that might pop up or that I've been holding forth. But I want to just go off on a little tangent for a second, if I might. I was telling the guys that we work with, Robert and Jim, they know how hard the show is for them and me. They know how hard we struggle to create a fresh show every day. 5 days a week, think about this, 5 days a week you have to come up with an original program to keep people listening for 3 hours a day. Now, most can't do it, and so they repeat the same show every day, day in and day out the same show, which is why they savor the election, which is why the media savors the election. It's lazy work. The reason that the media is running the election day and night is because it's easy, it's lazy. It requires no thinking. This one said that, and that one said this, and then Frank Schmuck says it's up, down, and this one 2 points up, and Frank Yeckel says it's down, and Yankel Pipik says it's up, and then according to this poll is that. Well, I can't do it. That's not my cup of tea. If you like it, you know where to go to find that, because it's everywhere. What I'm getting at is it's almost impossible to create a show such as this on a regular basis. This is one of these out of the ballpark shows. I know radio well enough to tell you when it's great, and I know what the audience is reacting to and why. But how I came to this is the biggest story. What a host really has to do to make it fresh every day is you have to step back. You have to step out of it. You have to step back from it. And you have to breathe the air that's out there rather than just reading the news day and night. If you're going to spend your life on the internet looking at stories, all you're going to do is talk about what's on the internet, and everyone's going to repeat each other. Oh, the same, over and over. I don't want to do it. I never did. And my original years in radio, I didn't even read. Well, there was no internet, if you can believe it. You know, there was no internet when I began radio in 94. I had to go buy magazines and newspapers and read and think about what people might want to talk about. It's too easy right now to go on a few websites and start reading headlines and think that that's what people want to talk about. I don't think that's what you want to talk about. I mean, if that's the default of radio, fine. That's what people will do. There's a certain audience that will talk only about the race, so to speak, from now until doomsday. And then after it's over in November, they'll still talk about it. You know, on and on. It's like we're still talking about previous elections. Okay, there's a stock and trade in that. But I have made a decision that I want to do stuff that interests me. Otherwise, I'm not going to do radio anymore, in plain English. I will not do it. If it doesn't interest me, I won't do it at all. And there's another little rule of radio I learned. If the host is interested and excited by a topic, the audience will hear it, and they will react to it. And if the host is just calling it in, they'll hear that as well, and they'll turn the show off. So let me go back to why and how I'm doing this. I got off the air Tuesday. I was exhausted from it, dead from the whole debate and the election, and I couldn't take another second of it. And I have good enough intuition in radio to tell you that if I'm at that point, so are you.
the largest segment of the population doesn't want to hear anymore. Every second about the same thing, about who said what and who's up and who's down. So I had heard about that movie, so I went and saw The Big Short, and I was explaining what it was about and the housing bubble and how it collapsed and how it's going to happen again. And then last night, since I'm an avid television watcher, it's one of the things I do to relax. I prefer movies and car shows in this order. Car shows are my default shows, repairing cars on Velocity. I always go there when I'm bored. I like guys who fix things and can do it. I enjoy it, frankly. And then I watch boxing matches if it's good. I like boxing matches. Watch them. I prefer a movie to anything. So last night there was a 90 hours of The Godfather, the original with the uncut scenes. And so you watch it for a few minutes to see if you see a scene you never saw. Who doesn't like watching that again for a few minutes? But then I stumbled upon the Madoff thing. I forgot it was on. I'd seen it somewhere. And it was on a network on ABC. I said, okay, yeah, I'll go for it. Because I'm interested in the Madoff scam story. Because I wasn't touched by it. In that I'm not an investor. I don't invest money in anything. I don't trust investments. I don't trust people with my money. I'm one of these guys, I wish that banks were paying interest again. I'd rather have all my money in a bank. I mean, I even take 3% would be very nice. Give me a 2.5 even, not a minus zero, a 0 minus 1, which is where they're going because of the false economy we're in. Why do you think we have zero interest? Why do you think that grandma in the Federal Reserve is keeping interest rates so low? Why do you think the World Bank is in a conspiracy with grandma in the banking industry? Why do you think they're keeping interest rates at zero or less than zero? Because the whole thing is a Ponzi scheme about to collapse on us. And the minute that they permit a dime of interest to be made, what will happen is you'll put money in banks again and you'll try to make a little money on your interest, on your capital, and they don't want that. They want you to keep the money in the economy. They want you to keep pumping the money out by buying stuff that you don't really need. That's one of the theories of this kind of economic system that we're in right now. And eventually it has to come to a crash. So I went to the movies Tuesday night to watch The Big Short, and that's what I was talking about. Then I saw Madoff last night. Can't wait for part two tonight on ABC, which I will watch instead of the so-called debate between the commie and the criminal, which occurs at about the same time. And I'll watch the show again with him playing Madoff. I forget his name. I always forget his name. Richard Dreyfuss, Dreyfuss. I never liked the guy. I know there's something about him that gives me the creeps. He's the kind of guy I don't like. But he plays a character I actually despise, which is why I liked it, because he almost plays himself. He is a short, pudgy, nasty piece of work who disguises it with an overly ambitious smile on everyone to con them. And so you could start to believe that that's what Madoff was like, even though Madoff was taller, much taller than him. So what I'm saying is that's how I derived today's show, is from doing that. Now, can I promise you the same thing tomorrow? No. No, I can't. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. But let's go to the callers now on the Savage Nation, in the housing bubble, on the Madoff deal, and hear what people have to say about it. Let's go to KLIF in Dallas. Frank, go ahead, please. Topic and what happened to you.
Yeah, Michael, I lost two houses during the bubble. Actually, lost one, and I'm in foreclosure on the second.
And what year did this happen?
Oh, it started about 5 years ago.
5 years ago, but that was after the bubble.
Actually, 2008.
Okay, so you got hit right at the peak of it.
Yeah.
So how did you get to buy the two houses? With nothing down or what?
Well, I had a dream of having my own business. So I went to the banks, and Quicken Loans gave me two mortgages with no income verification. I should have known something was up then, right?
Okay, well, that's just what we're talking about. I said when I bought my first house in 74, I had to put down 20%.
Yeah, my first house I did too.
Well, look, who doesn't want an easy fix? Who wouldn't take a mortgage for nothing down if they could get it during a rising market and take a gamble on a property? I mean, I hope you don't curse yourself for it.
Oh, no. I wanted my own business, and it did get me that opportunity. Unfortunately, that turned out sour. What was really funny, that second mortgage, both mortgages were then changed hands to a GMAC, and the second mortgage kept me alive. Because while they were foreclosing on my first house, I actually took out the line of credit on my original home. That's how crazy things were.
And where are you today? You have a house today?
Well, I'm in the same second house. It's been foreclosed on now. We've been fighting it for over 2 years. They finally got me into that stupid home, whatever, safe, you know, that crazy plan they have, the feds have. They gave me basically an offer that put everything at the end of it. And
well, no, this is very interesting what you just said. This is intriguing politically, because what you just said to me is the feds have developed a way to keep you in your house. That's a very good thing, isn't it?
I guess from the outside you can look at that, but in the bottom line to it is they have an asset that they claim is worth $550,000. If I got $350,000 for this house right now, I'd be lucky. So they're
Oh, no. I understand politically what you're saying, but don't you think it's better that you're actually in a house that you have some ownership in than being in the street?
Well, to be honest with you, what we did was we said, hey, we want to, you know, try to save up some money, and we just stopped paying. And we fought it. So by finding it, you can drag it out longer. And
well, thank God for the federal government. So I guess bailouts work for the individual as well as for corporations.
Well, I don't
think cool. I want to talk about that for a minute. It's very important. I can't do it at the second, but we keep hearing government's bad, government's bad, government's bad, government's bad, government's bad, government's bad. I'm a conservative. I'm a conservative. Let them go in the gutter. Let them live in the gutter. They took a chance. They lost. Too bad. Let them go in the gutter. I'm sorry. There's something wrong with that mantra. So when you have a government that moves in and helps a person have a roof over their head, that's bad too. That's not pure enough conservatism for you. You'd rather have people in the gutter living in a cardboard box. See, this is the problem of people who live in theory rather than reality. Reality is the guy would rather stay in the house with government help than live in a cardboard box. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-26. You're going to hear from me from the purist. It's a free market. Let the free market decide. Let the free market. Quack, quack, quack. Free market. They lost their house. It's too bad. Let the free market determine it. Free market, quack. You know, this sloganeering. I can come up with some slogans. Cruise with Cruz. Go on cruise control with Cruz. Are you stumped? Vote for Trump. Hate with Hillary. Sandals for Sanders. From sandals to sandals in one generation with Bernie Sanders. The loans that they made, my good friend Craig Smith writes, which they knew up front were bad, were referred to as ninja loans. Right, I remember that from the movie. No interest, no job, and no assets. You hear this? You put nothing down, never made a payment, and the originators knew the loans would fail. So they packaged the loan and sold them as securities. It was a fraudulent fiduciary instrument, but we have them back again. Back again with fraudulent fiduciary instruments under the great man in the White House. You know, here we are, the same thing, Mr. Humanity. How long has he worked now without a vacation? He's been back from Hawaii, what, a month? He's overdue for one. It's February 4th. He must be taking another vacation soon after putting a tax on oil. He just announced a tax of $10 a barrel. You hear this? In order to save the environment, he's putting a tax on something. God, this guy is something. That's after selling us on Islam yesterday. I haven't even gotten to it. We'll have to wait for Friday for that one. And I have one thing to say about this whole thing with him with Islam. It's simple, and I said it before, but I have to repeat it in case it's forgotten. Very important. No other president in history has ever sold a religion like this one sells Islam. Why, if the religion is so obviously a religion of peace, must he sell us on a day and night? If it's a religion of peace, you don't have to sell me on it. No one has to get up in the White House and tell me Buddhism is a religion of peace, because I know it to be true. That's all. Don't have to get up every day. Buddhism is a religion of peace. Well, I know that. I read the Buddhist Bible, basically. Because there is no Bible. It's a book of philosophy. I don't have to have anyone lecture me on Buddhism because I know what it is. Buddhists are peaceful, by and large. They leave everyone alone unless they're attacked and they're murderous killers. They understand. I don't have a president getting up and lecturing me on Buddhism every day. Buddhism is a religion of peace. No one's doing that. How can he be selling me on Islam as a religion of peace? If it was obviously a religion of peace, would he have to sell it every day the same way? This is why I don't buy it. And this is why I'm offended by it. Because no president should sell a religion as he does Islam. And you know why, don't you? It goes all the way back to the madrasas the mother who, you know, do I have to tell you the whole story again, the psychological story? It's in two books ago I wrote about the psychology.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
I get a scripture lesson every morning from a minister that I have a really close personal relationship with. And, you know, it just gets me grounded. He gets up really early, sends it to me. So, you know, there it is in my inbox at 5 a.m. I have friends who are rabbis who send me notes, give me readings that are going to be discussed in services. So I really appreciate all that incoming.
Oh, it's nauseating. That's Hillary Clinton on spirituality. Now, if you believe she gets a scripture lesson every morning from a minister that she has a really close personal relationship with, who could it be? Reverend Bill? Or is it Reverend Wright? And it gets her grounded. He gets up really early to send it to me. So, you know, there it is in my inbox at 5 a.m. We'd like to know what's in the outbox of your emails, Hillary. That's what we're really interested in. Not from the reverend that sent you something at 5 a.m. I love she has friends who are rabbis. You want to name them? Which communist rabbi you're talking to? There's an awful lot of them out there who hate America. I'm sure you get plenty of stuff from them. They're all over Berkeley. But the best scream on spirituality was Bernie Sanders, who was suddenly a very religious man. He doesn't say what religion it is, but he's a very religious man. He means the religion of Karl Marx. Very strong. I can't do it unless he's... I got to do it, listen to him, to mimic him. I got to hear the voice.
To me, I would not be here tonight. I would not be running for president of the United States if I did not have very strong religious and spiritual feelings.
What religion is it?
I believe that...
Bernie, stop. If you say you have strong religious and spiritual feelings, can you please tell us what religious feelings they are? What do you mean feelings? What do you mean by feelings? You could say you're spiritual, but what do you mean by you have strong religious feelings? What are those feelings? Usually religion is not a feeling. It's a practice, you schmendrick. If you're religious, you practice a religion. That's what that means. If you're spiritual, you could say you have feelings because that means nothing. That's filled with San Francisco spiritual people. They run around with feathers in their nostrils in order to avoid having to smell what's in the streets. All right, let's go to the callers here on the Savage Nation. Anything but the political thing. No, there's a couple of good sound bites I missed, so these are terrific. I don't want to go off the sound yet. The Goldman Sachs $675,000 one. Here's Mark Cuban and his opinion on the election in clip 15. Let's hear
it. I think Donald's softening up some. You know, I've talked to him on the phone a couple times, and when you know Donald, he's kind of got a different personality than what he plays on TV, and it's kind of don't hate the player, hate the game type situation. But I haven't made a decision yet, but, you know, I'll consider anybody but Ted Cruz.
Wonder why. Why would he say a thing like that? What does he have against cruising with Cruz, I wonder? I don't even know. I know Mark Cuban's he owns a sporting team, right? Honestly, don't. I mean, I know he's very important and very wealthy. That's all I know. I read his name. I know he doesn't own Cuba, but I mean, what does he own? Does he own Cuba as well? I mean, he could buy Cuba probably for less money than his team. Mark, you know, think about the naming rights for that one. People pay a fortune to have naming rights to a building. If he could buy Cuba from the Castro brothers, who could then flee and move to Hungary, or wherever they originally came from before their family landed in Cuba, he wouldn't have to buy naming rights. The whole nation is named for him. I'm just thinking out loud how these things work, talking about real estate. What an investment that would be to buy a country which has your name. Okay, callers, KVOR, KSFO, BOB, ABC, KERN, KSFO, WABC, KSFO, Darren, you're calling about Madoff. What happened to you?
Hi, Michael. What happened to me was, I got involved in the real estate and the Madoff stuff, but I sold my real estate just before the market went down, and I had a pile of money, and then my grandmother's estate settled finally, and she had put her money in a trust for my parents, and what happened was we needed a safe place to put our money, so I talked to my CPA, and he said, look, I've been involved in this thing for 30 years, and right now it's at 4%. So I said, oh, okay, that sounds really safe. So we put whatever it was, $3 million into it. And
Wait, I'm missing you. Into what? Bernie Madoff? You put it into Madoff's hands?
Well, no, we gave it to my CPA. who has actually had a feeder fund with Bernie Madoff. We did not know that.
Oh, so your CPA ripped you off.
What's that?
Your CPA robbed you.
Well, I guess you could say that, but his money was in Madoff, too, so he lost everything he had.
Oh, so he was a true believer. He got suckered by the con man as well.
Yeah. I'd never heard of this guy's name before until such time as
Darren, hold on one minute. You live here in the San Francisco area, correct?
Yeah. I'm a local painting contractor. I just work here.
You lost your life savings because of this bum?
Everything. And my parents' money, and my sister's money, and my half of my grandmother's trust.
Oh, my God. I'm sure you'd like to get your hands on Bernie Madoff's neck.
Oh, what are you going to do? I had to pull myself up by the bootstraps and go to work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. I got no choice. What? My parents are...
You mean you had to start from ground zero all over again?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful. How old were you when you lost everything to Madoff?
Let's see, 42. And the biggest problem was that once that happened, it was the worst economy ever. So as soon as I lost all the money, there was no work in the construction.
Oh, right, especially for a painter, because the housing trades were near zero.
So it went right off the deep end. So I wasn't able to just come back. You know,
but like right now, the housing market is booming. Obviously, your business must be great, right?
It has turned around in the last 2 years.
Yeah, what I'm worried about, Darren, is that everything's cyclical, and you know the housing market cannot stay up forever, right? You know that.
The whole thing's going to blow up in another year after the next election. Like you said, as soon as...
Bingo. Exactly. They're going to blow it up so it collapses under the Republican president, whoever it is. So, Darren, how are you planning for the collapse? Meaning, this is interesting. We're all talking about it like it's in a test tube, but it isn't. We know that the big money's going to blow it out again and steal billions of dollars again. The average person's going to get really, really screwed again. What plans are you making for that inevitability?
Well, I have my money in real estate. I'm not in the market. I won't touch it.
Wait, hold it. You said you have it in real estate? Oh, you have it in real estate.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but Darren, I understand that, but if things are good now, what happens if the housing market collapses?
Well, for me, I own two houses in a small place in San Pablo, California. They're small, little rental properties. I own them outright.
So you can't get hurt no matter what happens because you own them. So there's no mortgage on them.
So that was my decision. I'll never let it happen again. Now, they can see rent regardless of whether they go up or down.
Yes. Well, I think, Darren, that's the essence of what the words real estate means. People forget it means real estate. It means something real.
Tangible, yeah. I know where it is.
Well, that's good. Yeah, you know where it is. And you, by the way, here's another thing to remember. You can always live in it, too, if things go bad. I'll never forget what happened to me. I had a rental house, a small rental house, at a certain point later on in my life, before radio, and I owned the house. Well, things turned on me. I had to move into my rental house. It was a great humiliation for me. But you know what? I thank God every day that I had a clean house to live in, to be very honest with you. It wasn't fun falling back into a rental, but I did what I had to do and then claw my way back out of it.
I've had to reinvent myself, Michael, and I am truly humbled by where I am today. You know, it's kind of like God's taken care of me when I couldn't myself. I did all the legwork, but somehow I ended up back on my feet.
Well, you're a strong man. You know, you didn't give in to self-pity, and you didn't give in to alcohol or drugs, so you were able to pull yourself back out. Not everyone is as strong as you or I are. Many people give up. They can't take it. They just can't fight anymore. And they go by the way of the wayside. That's what happens to people. They can't do it. So thank you very much for calling. It's an interesting... See, this is human. How shall I say? The stories we're getting today on the show are what used to make me listen to talk radio. Human stories, human relations. I mean, this is what I like doing. This almost borders on what I was doing for a while, a year ago, of the lifestyle. Remember I would do a lifestyle show? This is kind of that, but very political in that way. And the more you listen to it, the more you learn, I think, especially people who never lived through this kind of stuff. But if you don't know what we're talking about, you will know soon. Let's put it to you that way. Let's say you're a 20-something-year-old trust fund case, or you are working for Google, or
you're working for Yahoo or Twitter and you think it's all a joke. And you think it's just, oh, those conservatives, I don't know what they're talking about. You will also very soon learn what a scam is when it all comes crashing down and your stock falls by 50%. Because that's going to, how could a stock like Yahoo be worth as much? How could the stock of Google be worth that much? How could Facebook stock be worth that much? Do they produce a product that has that much value? No. So it's, again, a speculative bubble. And eventually these things will level off, in my opinion. Nothing keeps going up forever. Nothing. Whatever goes up must come down. KERN, I love Kern County. Tim, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's your topic? What's your story?
I lost everything January 08 due to the housing crisis. I put in $60,000 down. I knew it was going to crash in 2005 because I bought my first condominium in 2002. And my ex-wife.
Well, but you mean you didn't get out soon enough? Is that what you're saying?
No, I was.
Well, of course not. Of course not, because you're not one of the big guys. Only the big guys know when the bottom's going to fall out, since they're the ones who pull the bottom out from under all of us. We don't know. Who knows when they're going to pull the plug? My guess politically is what I said earlier. My instincts are fairly good. I don't know if I'm right or wrong. I don't have any access to these people, but knowing what I know about politics and seeing what they did to us during the Bush years and how they gave us Obama by pulling out the bottom of the housing market, they crashed the economy, then Obama comes along. Remember when he ran, how believable the man was? Do you remember that election? I do. I remember what he lied about and what he said he was going to do. Of course, he lied about everything. He's a psychopath, so okay, don't get me started. I almost did it again. He lied about everything he said he would do, he didn't do, except the far-left social programs. That's the only thing he kept true to. Wrecking the military and destroying the social order of society. Other than that, he's as bad as the rest of them when it comes to the economic stuff, because he's controlled by the same moneyed interests who could care less about the social structure of America. They don't care about the social order or the social structure. So they don't care what he does with all that other stuff. All they know is he's giving them free rein to rob the public again. That's all. And the same thing is happening. So what's going to happen, my guess, and I could be right, I could be wrong, who knows, is they're going to do it again. Will be good this year, in this year, 2016. He'll continue to do his social engineering, destroying as much of the society that he can do, no matter how he can do it. And then the groundwork will have been laid for the next housing collapse, because they're using the fiduciary instruments all over again that gave us the last one. And, of course, there are many, many Madoffs running around who've taken people's money and invested it. They're going to lose their money again. And then, of course, we have the other situations that are almost identical. It's history repeating itself. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. Tonight's the debate between the commie and the criminal in New Hampshire, like I'm supposed to care who's a bigger progressive. You know, like that's the new badge of honor. Who's a bigger communist? So, you know, my statement that the motto of the New Hampshire Democrat Party should be live free and get high is not too far from the truth, since now Ted Cruz is talking about addiction all of a sudden. How long have I been talking about saying whatever happened to family values? Why are they not talking about drugs? All of a sudden, now Ted Cruz is talking about addiction from a distant family member. Great. Here's another story I see here on MSNBC. Bill Clinton's impact felt on the grope line. Oh, I mean the rope line. Wait a minute. Bill Clinton's impact felt on the grope line. Oh, he's running the velvet rope now. Who gets in to see the wife? That's why joke rope grow. Very funny. Bush says, proud mom campaigning for me today. You're not kidding. She is. If he drops out, she'll crush him altogether under a steamroller. The first one-on-one debate of the 2016 cycle. It shows you how pathetic the Democrat Party is. It's like, who is a better socialist, communist, anarchist? Bernie or Hillary? They want to get the credentials now up there. Oh, he's going to beat her up there. We know that. That's very good. Because it's a state filled with drug addicts and poor and tax dodgers. That's why they're generally to the left of center on the Democrat side. The landholders, people who own a house, in other words, are Republicans. Anyone who pays a tax is a Republican. What does the word progressive mean? That's such a stupid word.
It's a new word for communist. That's all. Progressive. I'm a proud progressive. What does it mean? Take from those who haven't, give it to the idiots who didn't earn it. That's what it means. Okay, so I did what I said I wasn't going to do because I couldn't resist because it's coming up. I'm going to watch ABC tonight, the second installment of the Madoff thing. I cannot wait. The ads I could do without, but all right, that's part and parcel. I found a thing to do during ads now as I run over to the computer and do email. With the clicker, I turn this... I wish I could get it. What's that thing they have where they take the ads out of the TV shows? Tebow? Is there a football player, a baseball player named Tebow? Or the thing that cuts out the ads? I don't have the patience. I generally don't have the patience for the technology involved. Last caller of the day, Rich on KLIF. You have 1 minute or less. Fire away. What's your topic?
Michael, I'm calling reference to the mortgage crisis. For about 5 years, I worked for the FDIC in Dallas. I was a member of a team of about 10 professionals that specifically dealt with bad loans that nobody else wanted when we closed over 500 banks. We did our job so effectively that we had two loan servicers withdraw from their contracts because we were too tough on them. They were...
So you worked as a governmental agent to keep people in their houses, correct?
That is correct.
So I'm saying that's a good thing. You know, here's the problem. You've got textbook conservatives who are going to say that's a bad thing. That if a person gambled and lost, they should be in the gutter and go live in a cardboard box. I'm not that kind of personality, as you can well imagine by now.
Of course. And Michael, as a conservative, I was getting it from both sides. My liberal...
You see, there you are. You're a conservative who worked for FDIC, and yet you're proud of the fact that as a conservative governmental worker, you kept people in their houses. That's what I'm talking about, is that kind of subtlety. That kind of nuance is almost unheard of right now. The lines are drawn like they do. Classic conservative says, go in the gutter. You gambled and lost. We don't care about you. You know, free market, free market, free market, free market, free market. Good for you. Glad you did it. Good night.